So a warm Christmas. I guess we had our white Christmas yesterday, and here to celebrate with us is the mayor of the city of Bloomington, John Hamilton. Welcome back to the studio.
In the flesh, it's nice to be with you, Mike.
Did you get a little worried yesterday when the snow just kept coming and kept coming?
Interestingly, I made a comment to my public works director. I said, "Do you look at that out there?" He said, "It's not snowing. That's not snow." It's got to be more serious to count as snow, I guess, for them. But
it
no,
did it, during it, the day, and
it
then
did build up a little bit.
So in the morning,
we brined. By the way, we did brine some.
I noticed that one. That was good. So in the morning, you're like, "Oh, that's cute." Then it's big flakes, then it stops, and then it's
sunny sometimes.
The snow globe where it just barely moves around. Then I'm driving home last night around 6 o'clock. I can't see a block in front of me. Nobody knows, and that's Indiana. Nobody knew when it was going to end. Oh, it'll be done by 2, then it was 4, then it was 6, then it was 8. I guess the greater point is the city never sleeps, right? You have to be on your toes.
The street crew are amazing. They do a great job watching all that weather and understanding, even though this is what they tell you may be happening, you got to be ready for anything, and they do a great job. Right. And we appreciate everybody in the streets being careful, too.
They were. The people in front of me driving were very careful, almost too careful.
You comment on it?
Well, not to them, but here on the airwaves. It's good to be safe, but you got to go faster than 10 miles an hour. You have to.
Yeah, that doesn't keep it safe.
You don't want that. No, that's bad for people because then they have to stop. Well, it's a whole thing. Mayor Hamilton is here. It will be our last visit together. Why? Well, next week we'll finish up the week here in full, and then next week, obviously, with the Christmas holiday, we will be off. Joe Smith will be off as well, and we'll be spending time with our family and relaxing. And then we'll return on January 3rd. But before all that goes on, you will give up the reins.
I'll turn the
transfer
keys,
over
and hand the office over and be wishing good luck to everybody going forward.
So what are you boxing up everything? How does this go?
I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
I've got some plans. I got some days ahead of me to do a little cleaning out, make sure the office is all straight. You know what that would be like, right? If you had to empty out your office.
Take down all, you have all the holes in the walls and all the things that you forgot that were in that drawer of your desk and everything that goes on.
But one thing that's different is there's so much that's digital. You know, you just don't have as much paper as you used to have.
Here's a thumb drive. Here's another thumb drive.
Right. Just leave them. And they're all on the, you know, the city KB drive and all that stuff. So anyway,
you're not piling it up, so to speak.
Correct.
That's the 2018 files over there in that box or anything like that. Well, that's good because it does make it easier. It makes it sortable. It makes it, well, that's just
right.
The normal world we live in. When we talked to you last, you were ready for your 10K, your 6-mile
I was
hike.
Hoping you would ask me about that.
Oh, I was thinking about making it, and I said, you know what? I'm out of shape. Our helicopter at the studio is broken. The city doesn't have a helicopter. If I get hurt halfway through this hike. You cut the ribbon last week. I saw the drone pictures in the big stairway going up and the shot of it. And you think, oh, look on the map. Oh, Griffey, it's so cute. It's just a little pond. Well, you've got a 6-mile trail around it. Did you go do the whole thing?
We did. It's a beautiful nature preserve lake. And now with the dam crossing, which has been illegal before, I know some people used to do it.
Allegedly.
Yes. Rumor has it people did it, and the holes in the fence were kind of clear about that. But now it's this beautiful crossing that you can see the lake from new perspectives. And then it's got I counted 78 stairs up to the start of the trail, and then it's a 4.5 or close to 5 mile on the south side. And that's a very windy, beautiful, sometimes you can't see the lake, you're up in the forest. And then you hit it's just beautifully designed, and it's meant to be a natural trail that is designed so that the weather and the walking and all just keep it good. And I actually got to walk with the guy who designed it, so that was fun to learn how they do that. And, you know, you can see the few places we had to cut stones, but not too many. And then you get to the boathouse and the beautiful new crossing there, and then the north side is still what it was before, and that's about a mile.
See,
and a
I'm
half.
Getting turned so, around. I've got to think. So when I come, if you come off Moffitt and go like this, and then I come down the hill, and there's the boathouse on my right.
On your right. So you, that's you're going north.
Yeah.
So the north trail is by the boathouse. If you drive past the boathouse and took a left.
Okay.
And start walking. That's the north side of the lake.
That's the new part.
That's the old part.
I'm thinking the old part, all those trails that go back the other direction. You park behind the boathouse.
Well, if you park all those old trails going northeast.
Those are still there, right?
Those are still there.
Okay, great.
Little loops, you can do all those.
Yes.
They don't go.
Not 6 miles.
No. And they don't go around the lake. They're kind of up into the woods, right?
Yes.
But then there's been a trail around the lake on the north side. It's pretty rugged, and there's some places that are a little tricky.
But there was a big stairway walk up on that side,
yeah,
too? Okay,
yeah.
So me and my son did that, but not this fall, but last fall. So that had to just be open. And that's up and up the mountain climber you go to get started once you get up there.
Well, I think...
At least it felt... Maybe I'm just out of shape.
I don't know. Anyway, we made it. Seven. Seven of us did the whole trip. And it was 3 hours. It was a lot of fun. It's beautiful. We encourage people to get out there and enjoy it.
And that's open all year.
It's open
year,
now, all the time.
Around. A very common question in this part of the world, are dogs and pets allowed?
Yeah.
Okay,
yep,
great.
Yep.
Because I know
not
there's
bikes.
Some signs. Not bikes.
Not okay. Mountain bikes or horses. But,
or electric bikes or,
yeah. Yeah.
Or anything
or
else.
Or scooters. Nothing like that.
The trail is maintained by Parks and Recs, obviously. The design factor that you talked to the gentleman that did that, does it require a lot of maintenance, or is it just when the growth comes in, you got to peel it back? And what surface is it? Is it all dirt?
Yeah, so a good trail like this. So, well, the south side, which connects Meadowood, for example, and it was how you would get in from Meadowood, that was a lot of kind of just natural made people walking, bushwhacking, right, over the years and years. And the problem is those trails are often too steep. Erosion will wipe them out. So these new trails are a little wider. Two people can walk abreast. They're designed to go with the curve of the hill so that water doesn't wipe them out over time. And it's natural surface, so it's basically dirt, leaves. There may be some
growth. So you
didn't
bring in like crushed rock or
nope,
anything to do
nope,
that. So it's
just
natural
trail. It's a little muddy because they got to pack it down a little, even though it hadn't rained. So that was interesting. But it's just beautiful, and I encourage people to do it. They're going to, I think, next year, they're probably going to upgrade the north side. So that shorter 1.5 mile to improve. There's some tricky spots for people on that. But
right. And that was going to be my next part because the two things we noticed going, we weren't sure if we were still on the trail.
Right.
And then, well, you know, when my son at the time was 7 or 8, well, he doesn't care. He's just going to go run over there anyhow. But it's the old man climbing up the hill, making sure he can get us back into it. It's just called the Griffey Trail? Is there a formal?
Well, there's the South Shore Trail is on the south side, and
okay,
then the Griffey North Side Trail. And then there's all those others that you mentioned coming kind of off the back of the boathouse parking lot that are separately numbered, I think. But
so the new dam side, there's a parking lot now,
there
and
is
everything's
a parking lot
ready
now
to go instead of having to climb the fence. Is that natural graffiti, or did that do it?
Well, that's an opportunity for art, right? Public
that,
art.
It but, is.
Yeah.
And just think, you didn't have to pay anybody for any of that,
yeah,
at all. Mayor Hamilton is in the studio this afternoon. Our final visit together, the countdown. Well, let's see. We've got the rest of this week, so Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We know City Hall will be closed. When will City Hall be closed, in case people are curious?
Closed Christmas Day and New Year's Day.
That's it, folks. Simple as that. And next week, everybody will be – it'll be quiet if it's not already quiet. Heck, our only friends in school right now. Tomorrow, Richland Bean Blossom. That's it. And then when they're done, everybody is done. So you have plenty of time. Unless you're a procrastinator. You have weeks if you're a procrastinator. But the city is helping out. We just talked to Eric Spoonmore last half hour about all the great opportunities for local business and helping everybody here have a healthy financial Christmas. No parking in the garages or the meter. Well, you have to pay. No paid parking Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of
free
this week. Free, free, free.
Free. Yep.
Now, street metered parking. There are some zones and lots and other things that don't fall in that category. I don't even want to discuss it. But if there's a parking meter It'll be off.
If it'll be off.
You can't even give it your credit card.
Well, yeah, it won't take your credit card. You could put money in it, coins in I've seen people recommend that.
We'll take it.
We can't give it back. We don't know who it comes from.
There is no coin return on those.
We're trying to help people get downtown and enjoy the shopping, which I love. And as you indicated, the weather will be kind of favorable for popping down here and walking around.
It's going to be really nice. It's going to be 52 on Thursday.
Woo.
It's going to be 50 on Friday, 50 on Saturday. And those of you, Sunday you're going to want to look. And I know that a lot of you procrastinate, and I know there'll be some, perhaps some larger style stores chain-wide open in some places. But if you're saving it till Sunday, Christmas Eve is a great shopping day if it's not Sunday. So check your Sunday on that. That would be the only – you procrastinator should know that. I don't have to tell you.
You seem to speak from experience on this. Is that possible?
Yes. I consider myself efficient. I'm not a shopper. I'm a buyer. Okay. If I have a list of things to buy –
there we go. You're
my brother and I would always go when we would visit my mom and dad when they were still alive, and we would go on Christmas Eve afternoon just so we knew – we had this big of a window. We had 3 hours, and we had to be efficient. We had to know where we're going. Instead of wandering the halls of the malls and soaking in the Christmas incense and spirit. I know a lot of people like to do that. I don't. So we know how to procrastinate. But we don't want you to. The revenue from parking, and look, I'm not going to sit here and make you share all of the city secrets. That wouldn't be fair.
We have no secrets.
Well, that's a good point. Why is there such a misconception about how parking works? Do you think that's because in the old days it was 2 hours and we didn't? Well, there's a reason we do all of these things, and I try. And again, you've told me this, and I've told people this. It doesn't matter if you like it or not, we just want you to know the facts behind it.
Well, it's interesting. You know, I think people.
Well, number one, they love to complain. So that's, I get that.
Parking's a little complicated because you're trying to manage a few things. You're trying to manage the warehousing of cars from people. You're trying to make sure there's opportunity for people to get in and out. You're trying to support the merchants. You're also supporting the convenience of people. But you're trying to encourage people not to drive single cars as much, you know, over time. So there's a lot of different purposes. You know, I've spent more time on parking than I probably would have predicted when I started.
Why do you think that was? Is that because you chose to, or that was brought to you?
Well, I think it's probably because new parking garages. We had, of course, we had to replace one that was broken, so that we didn't
Fourth Street.
Plan on that. New Trades District garage, dealing with Hopewell and that garage, figuring out that what to do. So that was involved. But also, you know, the city keeps changing, and the planning department and the city council keep reviewing how we should do parking. You may remember I vetoed a commission that was adding a parking commission because I said we already have a bike ped commission, bicycle pedestrian. We have a traffic commission. How about we just put all three together and deal with mobility? The city council didn't agree with that, so we now have an extra commission. But it's people care about it. They want to know how much it costs. They want to if you had parking spaces in front of your place of business and they go away, you care about that.
Correct.
So it affects us. I get it, but it's a constant management.
And the management part of it is interesting because if you didn't have something that went on and there was no churn, that's not good. And there's it's so many different layers of it. But the misconception is, well, the city just does this to make money.
We do not do it to make money.
There you go, kids.
It's actually...
You're losing money on it, aren't you?
We have no interest in trying to make money from parking. What we do have is trying to manage the flow of transportation in the city. Just Hopewell's an example where, you know, the old hospital site was giant parking lots, surface parking lots, right? Well, when we bought that land, which is now more than doubled in value, by the way, since we bought it, we knew we wanted people to live there. Well, that means you've got to turn vacant parking lots into housing, which means then, all right, we got to figure out where are people going to park, how many cars do they need, how many spots do they need. We also got to be thinking now about charging stations. Everybody's going to have electric cars. How are you going to plug it in if you're living in an apartment or at a hotel. How's that going to work? So it just keeps changing.
And it's always going to change. That's the other part of that. But to think that you make money on it. But if you have garages, you have to provide upkeep.
We want them to pay for themselves.
Right.
We don't really like subsidizing parking. But that's always an issue, you know. We have, and then COVID hit, and nobody used the parking garages. So then we had to subsidize them, you know.
And thankfully, the rates in the garages are a better rate than they are on the street. So if people, again, it's you can lead them to the water, but you can't make them drink. So,
have I told you the college mall laying it on Kirkwood? I can't remember.
No.
If I did that. If you took a footprint of College Mall and laid it on Kirkwood, it would go from the square to Sample Gates. So it's interesting that we all are comfortable parking next to the mall and then walking that length, right, in a mall. But the idea that I'm going to park, and weather is obviously a factor.
That's what, yes.
It is a factor, but it often isn't that big a factor. Anyway, it's just interesting psychologically what we get used to and how we transform. You know, I kind of hope Kirkwood, we keep exploring how to let people use it more.
And I agree with all that. And the retort I have to most people is when you go to Chicago, you don't park in front of your favorite restaurant and walk in the door, or the show, or Wrigley Field, or Lucas Oil Stadium, or But it's Bloomington, and I remember when. And that's great. But progress moves along.
Convenience is a great part of what we have here. And I think we're going to continue to invest in that convenience so you don't have to walk far and you don't have to pay much.
And the other part of this is the ever-changing. Hopewell is going to change downtown. The convention center is going to change downtown.
Trades District will change downtown.
We're going to start adding more people in a smaller space, so we're going to have angles of moving people or keeping them. Not everybody's going to be able to park right out in front. And if you get that spot, it's great, but you shouldn't be able to leave your car there for 2 days if you wanted to.
Right.
Unless you pay for it.
Yeah.
You pay for it, I get it. That's fine.
Well, and you know, we're a small city, and that's a wonderful quality of life. We are, I think I've mentioned, we're the most densely populated city in Indiana, if you look at per square mile. That lets us do a lot of things. It lets us have concentrated restaurant districts. It lets us have good mass transportation. It lets us have walkable cities. So that's a good thing to continue, but it does mean you kind of have to manage that density like bigger cities do sometimes.
So that's one of the bigger challenges moving forward for Bloomington is the growth, whether it's tourist, whether it's with university, whether it's with expanding industry. What do you see as perhaps the next 10 years? And, of course, your crystal ball is perfect, and we're going to hold you to everything here. What do you see as one of the bigger challenges maybe that we need to get caught up with moving forward?
Look, Bloomington's doing a lot of things right. We get noticed for that, awards for that. I think we are going to continue to have to figure out how many people do we want to let live here.
How do you do that? Because that sounds like, well, you know, we hear borders and walls and things and such.
Right.
Who's going to get in? Who's going to get out?
Yeah, so.
Well, you got to have employees to work for places.
Well, we have, you know, one of the challenges is if people can't live in Bloomington and they work here or they want to be near here, they're going to live close and then get in and out as they want to. And
traffic,
in and out is not what we don't like a ton of that, you know, if we don't have to have that. So I really think it's zoning, it's planning, it's how big is your district. You know, I'd be in favor of Unigov for Monroe County, so we could plan the whole thing like Marion County has. That's worked pretty well for them, I think. But
how important is the partnership with the university? Because there are some things you can't control. If they say, well, we have 48,000, we're going to go to 68,000, right, and they keep building on their footprint, that is the town and the abutting against the gown.
I think it's great, but there's
finite room.
Yeah, but any city in America, if you had your largest employer saying, we're going to keep growing, we're going to hire more people, we're going to bring more value and energy, you'd say, terrific, let's figure it out. Now, IU does have the power to decide some things that the city usually would get control of with another employer, with land that they own, for example. But look, we have of course, there are pressures, but we have a great relationship with IU, and I think their plans over the next 10 years or so are not going to have dramatic growth, but we want to work with them to help make sure the students who come here live in good places so that their experience is good, so that they don't have to spend too much time traveling.
Well,
and forth,
I think that's another interesting part of the university concept is the apartments that are being built next to athletics, right, where the old Kmart was, probably not for me and my family.
No,
they're for, so they get that angle of it.
You're not living in Forest or
but you're
Reed
taking
either,
care of
right?
the streets. You're taking care of the all the infrastructure that goes with it. So there has to be a partnership, doesn't there?
There does, and there is, and you know that Third Street example. You know we're planning, and the city has funded a rapid bus transit line. The idea that there'll be a bus every 10, 12, 15 minutes, maybe on that Third Street corridor, all the way from west to east. That makes living on there, running right through campus, awesome. You can jump on a bus. You know it's going to be there
yes.
every 10, 12 minutes. If we did the same going north-south, you start to create those connections. So it is, in a way, like living in a city where you don't need to get in your car or figure out how you're getting somewhere. You know you got this transit. So I actually think we've talked about Bloomington being the small city in America with the best transit system. We're not there yet, but we're getting there. And I think that will help IU students have a great experience, too.
IU students, everybody in town, yes, all of it is under one big umbrella. Just different sections of the umbrella. Mayor Hamilton is live in the studio. We have about 3 minutes left with him today. When you look back on 8 years, you look back fondly, I would hope, because you chose to say, hey, I everything runs its course. I've ran my course. When you look back, what are some of the things you're most proud about?
Well, I do. I am very proud of the people I've worked with. You know, you never do anything alone. It takes groups of people, teams of people, inside government, outside government, partnerships. I came in really talking about a few things. I wanted to diversify and strengthen our economy. You look at that, the mill and the trades district. You look at Catalent. You look at Baxter's recent sale, GE, Cook's growth and other things. We're cooking. That's great. I wanted to talk about affordable housing and make some progress. We've done terrifically, 1,400 new units of affordable housing, 20 times fold increase in pace. I talked about digital infrastructure. Now, that's not done yet, but when you're a mayor, to me, you think about things that can change the trajectory of a city, good or bad. What can you do? And those, the economy, the housing, digital infrastructure, and continuing to enhance the quality of life that we see. You know, you got to take care of a lot of stuff, and you got to deal with a lot of stuff that you didn't plan on. That happens. But what do you do that helps the city change its trajectory? And I'm really proud of the what we've done over 8 years, and I'm excited about Bloomington's trajectory. I think it's a great place to be.
Your future holds what?
Sleeping a little more in January.
Speaking of crystal balls, what is in your future?
Well,
of course, you get some rest and relaxation. Do you have a timeline in your mind of when you're going to get back to whatever it is you're going to start anew?
Well, I always have liked getting involved in, you know, rolling up my sleeves and helping try to solve problems. And I like the public interest and public sector. So I expect in 24, I'll get involved in some causes, some organizations I care about, but I think it'll be a scattering of a handful, not one single thing. My wife will continue to work hard for the federal government, and I'll be supporting her in that. I really should learn to cook better. I'm not a great cook, so
YouTube,
that would be helpful.
YouTube will help you out with all
maybe
that
that's
stuff.
The key.
Oh, I'm
maybe
telling
that's
you.
The key.
Write it down.
All right,
you'll
I'll
be
try
a,
that.
You'll be
but,
an ace.
This is my last time here as mayor, but if you need me as an ex-mayor for commentary, I can do that too. You know, so
excellent.
But give some space.
Oh, sure. So like Tuesday the 9th then.
No. And I really appreciate your listeners who care about the city, trying to keep up with stuff, and the way you just ask questions. Look, we're all in this together. We don't all agree on things, as you know. We just want to say what's going on. This is our government. Democracy means people power. It's the power of the people to do what we want. So let's make it happen together. It's been a great run for 8 years, and I'll be cheering on from the sidelines.
Until we call you back up and say, hey, okay, if you were in charge, what would you do in this time and space? Thank you. Thank you from all of us, because being transparent and saying there's transparency are two entirely different things. And for most Tuesdays over the last few years, we've come on and talked about issues that haven't gone your
whatever
way.
Whatever you wanted.
We've talked about things that people are uncomfortable or didn't want to hear about. But that's how problems get solved. Everybody knows what the problem is. How do we solve the problem? And running and sticking our head in the sand has never worked.
Or
and,
yelling at each other.
Well, a little bit. You can yell a little bit.
Then you got to get that over with and move
well,
on.
Now that you get that out of your system and it's ready to go. But coming on here and talking about all these issues has made our listeners smarter. And we thank you for that because not everybody wants to hear what they don't like hearing. And when you can hear each side of the story, there's I've one rule on the show. I try to get you both, and then you're smart enough, the listener, to decide what's best for you. And that's how it should be. And without you coming on, it's harder to force. This is what people sometimes don't want to hear it until they hear it from the source. And fantastic. I can't thank you and your staff enough for all the Tuesdays and Thursdays.
I'll miss you. It's been fun.
I will miss you. I'll harass you on the internet.
Please. Okay, that's fine. You got my cell number.
Or at the markets or anything else. That's Mayor John Hamilton. 8 years. He will be wrapping things up at 11:59:59 on January 1st. And we will welcome Kerry Thompson as the new mayor of Bloomington.